Well, it's good to have everyone here this morning. If you don't know who I am, I'm Ryan. I'm our lead pastor, and things are going to look a little different today because we are in RLC Celebrate Sunday, and then next week we're going to kick off our summer teaching series. And so this week, we're going to look at the past fiscal year and just celebrate what God has done here. And then at the very, very end, we're going to vision cast a little bit about the direction of the church because we've got a lot to celebrate. Our fiscal year actually runs June to May. And it's like right in the middle of the year is how we run our year. And so we just got a lot to celebrate. So you're going to see different faces up here today. And then you got to put up with me at the very end. Sound good? All right. Hey, if you're new here, we love that you're here. You chose to visit us. There's Guest Central right out in the lobby. And a lot of us, you're like, why do you say that every week? Here's why. Because some of us that have been so just inundated in this church, we begin to miss things. Right? And so over the weekend, we have a lot of open houses that happen throughout the weekend every single summer here. And some guests over the weekend said, hey, they didn't know where the bathroom is because our signage isn't great for the bathrooms. And it's like, I never thought about that because I know right where they are and I don't have to look for a sign. So it's awesome that guests stop by because then there's a survey and they can get things that we just miss. Or what did they like? And we're like, okay, they noticed that or whatever. So if you're new here, after service, stop out there and visit Guest Central in the lobby. And church family, just want to always say thank you for your faithfulness to give, right? We can give online, give in person, or the Tithely app. And my wife and I use the Tithely app. We every month, Friday that we get paid, the Tithely app takes out our tithe, our percentage to the Lord. And then I know my daughter, who just finished up her freshman year, she tithes too, and she gives me money to then bring to the offering plate. So our family does it in a couple different ways, and you can do it the way that's best for you and your family. And always after services, our worship attendants are at the doors with baskets. You can drop off that way. This is an act of worship, is through our tithe. And just so you know, in next week, as we kick off our summer series, I'm going to have a money talk July 12th with you. Now, don't skip July 12th because I said a money talk, okay? We're going to look in the life of Jesus and look at the Sermon on the Mount. And do you know the number one topic Jesus talks about more than any other topic is? Money. Oh, it got quiet. No one said amen, right? We don't say that, right? And so, but that's going to be an important talk because it's going to affect all of us. So be there. Hey, coming up is this a thing that we've done for several years now called Summer Bash. And the way we've done Summer Bash has been always different here. But this year, we're going to put Summer Bash on a Sunday night, July 12th. So come and hear what Jesus says about money and then come and celebrate Summer Bash that evening. Okay? So come Sunday morning, get your feet stepped on, and then have fun Sunday night, okay? That's our goal. And we're going to do baptism on that Sunday night. And I say this every time. There is no such thing as an unbaptized Christian in Scripture. They get saved, they get baptized. We should not have unbaptized Christians today. It's not a thing. It's not scriptural. Jesus set that example. So I'm telling you, encourage you, get signed up if you haven't been baptized. It's a sacrament of the church. Our two sacraments are baptism and the Lord's Supper or communion. And so there's a class. If you want to sign up for a class, Pastor Brandon's going to run that July 7th at 6 p.m. and just give you a theological framework of baptism and how it came about. Okay. So you want to get signed up for that. You can go online right now and get signed up that way. Also this morning, our care ministry is doing a brief training today, and our three deaconesses are running this training. So in between services, if you're interested in helping with meals to love on our church family, right there in the lobby, there's a quick training. Our deaconess Tammy Chupp is there. If you want to learn about our card ministry and how we care about you as a member of Radiant Life Church, you want to go in room one, which is right out the very first double set of doors as you walk out of here. It's quick training in there. Also, after our third service, if you are interested in visitation, of visiting a family. Some of you are way better at visiting than I am. So you want to go there or learn about transportation because we have people that are needing rides and needing to get around. You want to sign up or go to that training or just you're a handyman, you got auto care, anything like that, that can love on church family. And you're like, I think I could serve that way. So there's room 1, 2, and the gym at 1 o'clock. So they'll go 1 to about 2. And so you'll want to come back for those trainings as well, okay? Does that sound good? Because our goal of the care ministry is to care for the members of Radiant Life Church, to care for you really, really well, all right? So if you remember a couple weeks ago, how many of you got to dunk a pastor, right? And so a couple weeks ago, when we got done doing this, because we were raising all of our funds for Next Gen, right? So we're gonna have kids camp, and then we're gonna have NTS camp for our teens. And in the midst of it, of dunk a pastor, we were raising money for all that. And the pastors came up and said, hey, how many of you wanna know how much we made? And everyone's like, yeah, you know? And they're like, wait till next week, right? And then next week rolled around, which was last week, I was on stage and didn't tell you anything. Well, now I get to tell you something, okay? So generosity of your church that you really wanted to throw balls at your pastors and eat hot dogs is this amount right here. We raised $7,860.22. And that's incredible. So thank you, because camp is expensive and this allows to help pay for transportation and things that we have to have, especially like kids camp. You know, we're going to a new campground this year and having to pay, and we're really subsidizing you to send your kid to kids camp. Significant subsidization is happening through these funds. So thank you, thank you, and thank you, church family, for your donation and just loving on the next generation. Because as I've said before, they are the future church, right? And we want to make sure that the future church loves Jesus Christ really well. And they're not shaped by the shaping of culture, but they're shaped by the word of God and what Jesus Christ has to say, right? And so thank you for investing in that next generation, very much so. In a moment, we're going to have our outreach deacon, Jeff Jennings, come and share his heart about reaching the lost and reaching our neighbors. I'm wearing a t-shirt, on the back of it, it says, every neighbor, every nation. And I believe this is our outreach model to reaching the lost should be every neighbor, every nation, every neighbor, every nation. And Jeff is gonna come up and give us an initiative on how we can reach our neighbors and own our block that we live on for Jesus Christ. But before he comes up on the stage, watch this video as a setup for what Jeff is gonna bring to us in a moment.
We are Radiant Life Church, a gathering of believers who live throughout the surrounding area. Families are represented from one of the many cities and villages to the north, south, east, and west. As followers of Jesus, there is a distinct calling on our lives. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39, an expert in the law asks Jesus, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." Love your neighbor as yourself, a command given to us by our Lord. But what does it mean? Who is my neighbor, and how do I love them? What if Jesus meant my actual neighbor, the one who lives on my street, or down the road, or across the hall? What if I showed love to the ones who live closest to me? As a church, we are one body made up of many families who live in different cities, neighborhoods, homes, and communities. Where we live is known to us individually because it's where we spend most of our lives. It's where we raise our families, spend our free time, and get the rest we need. What if, as a church, we began to love our neighbors in the specific areas of where we lived? One church with many families living in different places, committed to loving our neighbors who live around us, building relationships, and showing love to the people who live closest. The command of Jesus is simple yet clear: to love your neighbor as yourself, to intentionally move toward the people who live closest with acts of kindness, generosity, and grace, to interrupt the pattern of our lives and follow the command of Jesus. Will you join us?
Good morning. My name is Jeff. I am the deacon of outreach, and Outreach. It's just a passion of mine. I hope you hear that today. I hope you receive that from me today. So about 3 years ago, I was in a D group. D group is just a group of men or women intentionally examining scripture very slowly, very intentionally. And so going through Matthew chapter 22, like we saw in the video, love your neighbor as yourself. And I've read that a lot of times, you know, and I've just, yep, I get it. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Let's keep on moving. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit, he says, Jeff, slow down for a minute. I need to show you something. And so I thought, okay, what is my neighbor? Or who is my neighbor? And what is loving my neighbor? What does it look like? Is it like as I drive past on my way home, like I do 1,000 times or more than that or whatever? Hey, there's my neighbor. How you doing? Don't really know you, but I know you live there. Or is it the dog got out? I would just want to let you know, and there you go. Or is it, hey, those are your things. This is the dividing line of our property. I'm going to need you to move that back for me. There you go. Is that loving my neighbor? So really, what is it? What is the Bible, God's word, describing? So that word, to love your neighbor as yourself, a verb in the Greek, agapao. So in a biblical context, it often refers to an active, unconditional, and sacrificial love that is driven by choice and commitment rather than just emotion and superficial attraction. So that's different than what I was really understanding. This is really basically God loving us, the way he moves towards us. In my lostness, him moving toward me intentionally. So that's what he's describing. And that is very different than what I was understanding to love my neighbor to be. So how do I wrestle with that? How do I receive that from Jesus? You know, because I'm busy, you're busy. We've got commitments. We've got the patterns of our lives. And so, you know, how are we going to do this? Or maybe we're like, you know, if Jesus knew this neighbor, he might say, oh, you get a pass on that one, Jeff. You know, it's okay. Love all the rest. That one, it's okay, because I understand it. It's not what he's saying. Or maybe it's that everybody all around me is my neighbor. And I think sometimes the error is that we just generalize so much that we lose the intention. We lose that these are my specific neighbors by design that God has placed me here. So what are we gonna do with that? Are we gonna trust and obey Jesus? In Acts 17, 26 and 27, God's word says, from one man, he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So by design, you know what that just said? That says that God knows where you live, that he knows the time that you live here. You know, for example, for me, he knows that I'm living in Sturgis in 2026. He knows the people around me. He knows the talent or the ability that I have within me to share the good news of Jesus. He knows that he has shown that to me all out of design, that I am really called to specifically seek my neighbors in my neighborhood. That's what I believe he's saying. And isn't that empowering that the God of the universe says that I'm calling you? It's not for the pastors. It's for all of us. I'm calling you because I've designed you for the place you live with the people you live around. It's to me, it's just such a, I feel equipped to go do that because he's given me that. So what are we gonna do about that as a church? I believe we're gonna do this together. So on the screen, there's the QR code. I'm gonna step out of the way. I was instructed to do that. So there it is. Scan the code. Get signed up. I want my phone to be blown up after service. If you can't do that, not a problem. I'll be out in the lobby. We can sign up there. Just need your phone number. We'll text you. But what we're going to do on this mighty network is what it's called. We're going to commit to loving our neighbors. We're going to say, that's my block. those are my people. I'm going to share the good news of Jesus, and we're going to be accountable for that on this network. It is all specifically tailored for this approach, where you live. We're also going to share our stories. There's going to be stories of success, and we're going to be inspired. We're going to share about how I went to my neighbor, and they were in it. They were in a storm, and I was able to encourage them. I was able to share the good news of Jesus. But we're also going to share our failures. We're going to share the examples of, I went up there, they saw me coming, and the hand was like, nope, I don't want what you're selling, turn around. There's going to be some of that. That's okay. It's uncomfortable. That's what we're called to be, is uncomfortable. So all of that is going to be in this network. And really what I like about it is that we're going to use technology. And oftentimes technology, it's a wonderful thing. And sometimes it can pull you in. It's a distraction. If you got to get off social network social networking, then that's fine. But I'm asking you to get on this one. This is by design tailored to go after our neighbors. All right. I'm passionate. I believe in it. The hope of Jesus Christ lives within me. I know that I was lost, but now I'm found. I know I've been adopted into his family. And so I know that I am undeserving of that. I know that he has moved towards me. And so my desire is to move towards my neighbors. Knowing those truths gets me through the difficult days. We're all going to have them. Life will be life. We will experience trouble and difficulty. In the last month, church family members have reached out for prayer. So these are believers, people that know to turn to Jesus. Let me give you a list. This is the month of May. Cancer, surgery, heart attack, court proceedings, cancer, surgery, wisdom, pregnancy complications, surgery, broken leg, death in the family, pneumonia, cancer, medical concerns, cancer, difficult situations, cancer, death in the family, physical issues, court proceedings, surgery, cancer, death in the family. Life is difficult. This is within our church family who knows to go to Jesus. What about our neighbors? What about our neighbors who experience this same list? Where do they go? Oftentimes, they turn to a substance that will give them temporary relief from what they're enduring. They turn to food, they turn to TV, images, work, and on, idols that will not deliver to them the hope that they believe they will find in that. We have that understanding within our hearts. We need to move towards them. But this message is not primarily one of obligation. There is part of that. It is a command of Jesus, but I believe that this is your next step to becoming fully alive. Fully alive disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are not simply called to come Sunday morning and repeat. We are called to go from this place and experience what it means to move into discomfort, to feel the need to lean on Jesus, to say, like, I don't know what to say to my neighbors. I will give it to you. I believe he will give it. We become fully alive in that. So that's my heart, is that we do this together. In Matthew 9, verse 39, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Can we go? They're out there. They're hurting. They're right beside us. They're down the street. That's my heart. Father, will you awaken us that when our lives are going good, that doesn't mean that everybody around us is experiencing wonderful times. There's difficulty. There's difficulty around us. And I pray that we would hear your voice, that we would receive that, but we would also see it as an opportunity to say, Jesus, wherever you go, I trust you. If you want me to go to this place, if you want me to go down the street, if you want me to invite my neighbors into my home and have dinner, I will do that because I know what you have is good for me. It's what I need. So Father, awaken us, awaken our hearts. Let us receive this. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Can we thank Jeff, our deacon of outreach?
Thank you, buddy.
With that code, we'll send that code out again and you'll see that code more. It will bring up a text message and then you have to hit send. And then the Mighty Networks will come up. And one of the goals of the Mighty Networks is to see every community that comes to Radiant Life have a map of their community and will light up all the blocks that you guys are deciding to own your block for Jesus. And it's going to look in many different ways, but we're excited. And so seriously, get signed up for that and Mighty Networks and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome because Jesus says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And we have that responsibility as well, right? And I know some of us, as Jeff was talking, have sweaty palms because we're like, I don't know how to talk to people, right? Hey, can I just say this? It's okay. Lean on the presence and power of Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, get into God's word so the word gets into you and you'll be able to speak forth truth in those conversations, amen? All right, so today, as I said, we're celebrating a lot of things, what has happened. And you're gonna hear a couple different stories from some of our pastors, and then at the very end, I have a small devotion for us, okay? We are celebrating, and Rasika made this for us. It's awesome, this is gonna be on our website. But these are just a snapshot of what has happened over the past just year at Radiant Life. And there's a lot of things here to celebrate. Like our average attendance this past year was 1335, right? Cool, is we've had 53 groups, or our small groups. We have had 53 of those over this past year. I mean, these are wonderful numbers to celebrate. And as Pastor Ryan said, I'm not all about numbers. I am all about helping us become fully alive in Jesus Christ. And numbers say one thing, but numbers can't measure all things. So that's a measurement, and we praise God for that. But it's hard to measure fruit in someone's life and put a number to that. And I'm more interested of how many of you are being mobilized where you live, work, play, and learn, and starting Bible studies at your lunch hour in your workplace, or starting prayer meetings every time someone comes into your office. Your number one rule is, I'm going to pray for them. I'm more interested in how many disciples are being mobilized that way than just numbers and seats that are here in this worship center. And I don't know about you, but that's my heart. That's my heart. And so also with it, that's gonna be on our website for you to look at and get those numbers greater. Some of you have been just really recently bugging us, lovingly bugging us, about getting new t-shirts. And so I wanna just throw this, what do you call those codes? QR codes, thank you. Those QR codes up. We have a shop open online for 2 weeks. So you can get t-shirts, you can get thicker t-shirts like the one I'm wearing, or thinner t-shirts. Look on that website so you get t-shirts and long sleeves. There's the QR code, snap it, because we're no longer gonna have t-shirts and oh, go buy it. No, you go online and get them, and then we're gonna close it in 2 weeks. So you have through June 25th to place an order. And if you get our weekly email that comes out every Monday, that's gonna be in our weekly email as well. And you can go to the website and get it that way. Does that sound good? And so we have all different designs in our vision statement, or our existence statement on the back, and just our outreach statement. So there it is for you. All right, before we celebrate more, I wanna talk to you, news about, to you, about me personally and my family. I have been in full-time ministry going on now 18 years of full-time ministry without taking a break. And our denomination as a Wesleyan church encourages every 7 years for a pastor to go on a sabbatical, which means in my ministry life in the Wesleyan church, I should have been on 2 sabbaticals already. In 18 years, I haven't done one. And so guess what I'm going to take midsummer? Is I am going on a sabbatical midsummer, okay? And I will be gone for 12 weeks of my sabbatical just to refresh and get spiritually renewed. And I am looking forward to it, very much so. I came up, I pray every Saturday over the services, and I came up and I was just standing here last night in the dark. I had worship music in my ears and just looking out at the seats, and I started tearing up for two reasons. Number one, I know I'll miss you for the midsummer to just the start of fall. I was like, I'm gonna miss worshiping with you guys, but at the same time, I was crying because I'm like, God, I can't wait just to linger with you. Linger with God. And so what does that mean? That means don't email me, don't call me, don't text me, all right? That's what that means. And so I'm excited because next year, Pastor Brandon and Pastor Pam get to take theirs as well as Amy. There's gonna be a shorter than mine, but to our knowledge, no pastor in the life of this church has taken a sabbatical, and I'm the first, and I'm just really looking forward to it, all right? And you know, here's some things about a sabbatical, because some of you are like, well, I work hard and I don't get a sabbatical, right? You chose the wrong profession, sorry, all right? It's a time of purposeful ceasing, resting, and planned refreshment. It's to renew, restore vitality and health, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And man, it's just, we're really looking forward to that time. I mean, my kids, you'll still see my kids here worshiping throughout that time. And my wife, you'll see her pop in and out. But for 12 weeks from mid-July to the start of October, I'm gonna say deuces, all right? That's what's gonna happen. And I'll be on my front porch. Y'all know where I live anyways. You can wave to me, honk to me. If you see me in Meijer, we can talk, but we're not talking church stuff. Does that sound good? All right? So just to let you know some things that this isn't like, oh, what? He gets 12 weeks of vacation? No. I have a sabbatical coach that will coach me through it all to make sure emotionally, spiritually, and physically I'm getting the refreshment that me and my wife need, because I don't want to burn out. I want to be in ministry long term. And so this is why you take a sabbatical, just to refresh. And you know, as a pastor, you're always pouring out, and this is 12 weeks of my life that's going to be very intentional to allow the Lord to just pour in. And I'm excited about it. And so I got to get a sabbatical coach, and in it, there's three things that you have to do. You have to take a trip with your family so you have fun with your family. And I know that's hard, just to have fun with your family. I mean, scheduling one, you guys. Like, I don't know what family you all come from, but... And then my wife and I are probably gonna go to a ministry retreat center and just get some healing there, and because ministry is hard and it brings wounds, right? It brings wounds. And so how many of you know, even if you're healthy, you still need counseling, right? And so my wife and I are gonna take a little trip together, and then I'm gonna take some time just by myself and get away. And it's just gonna be awesome. I can't wait for that. And I want you to hold me accountable in this, is I really feel strongly that the Lord has put on my heart to write a book. And so during this 12 weeks, I'm gonna get away. Even someone offered me, hey, I have a cottage on a lake that my family owns and it's not really used. You can come and use it during your sabbatical. And I'm like, yes, because I need to get away. And I bought these folders and I'm ready to start looking into shepherding leadership in the life of King David, and what is leadership and being a shepherd look like. And so I'm really excited for that. So that's gonna be it. So my last Sunday here is gonna be July 12th. Okay, July 12th, not my last Sunday. Like, it's just before my sabbatical, okay? Don't celebrate too much yet, all right? And so that Sunday, July 12th, that evening, you get to celebrate me going away with Summer Bash, all right? So celebrate Summer Bash, July 12th at 5 p.m. We're gonna have a big party. It's gonna be outside, food and fun and baptism. It's gonna be a great time. And then you're like, Pastor Ryan, but what are we doing for 12 weeks? We have it all planned out for the 12 weeks that I'm gone. We have it all planned out. We're gonna bring in guest speakers. The teaching team's awesome. And they're going to continue in our series that we're kicking off next week, okay? So here's the issue. You gotta deal with me all the way up to July 12th, okay? Except one Sunday when I'm in Mexico on our mission trip, you get me for the rest of this time. So I'm gonna go heavy until that time. And next week, we're kicking off the series, The Right Side Up Kingdom, and looking at Jesus's words on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And all summer long, we're gonna be in this series. And you better get ready, because Jesus brings it, right? And he's like, on one week, we're gonna talk about murder in your heart and adultery in your heart. Like, get ready. And you're like, well, I've never murdered. Have you ever hated someone? You've committed murder in your heart. You're like, oh, yeah, Jesus brings it. And so we're going to bring it. We're going to look at the red letters in your Bible. And this is the greatest sermon ever preached. It's the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at. Okay. Does that sound good? Sound good where we're going? All right.